Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Ernest, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I used it. You should go over there and start using it now.
All right, guys. Welcome back. Earn Your Leisure LA edition.
Yeah,
we have
LA
edition.
We have a very, very educational, exciting episode. I'm looking forward to it. I know you're going to learn a lot. We have Farzana Nayini.
That was good.
Nayini.
Oh, he was close.
That was good.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I got nervous. Cracked under pressure. But no, this is going to be an informative episode. So for people that don't know, there's a lot of programs that for business owners. So the thing about this whole podcast is to give people information, is to inform people. And we inform people of all areas of finance, but especially business owners and entrepreneurs, right? So when we heard your story and you was just educating us about how many programs and opportunities there are for business owners.
That's right.
I'm like, okay, yeah, we definitely, we have to tell the people to enlighten them, to educate them, and to really, you know, give them an idea of what's going on. So you are a business coach, business consultant,
right?
That's right. And you've worked with over 400 businesses in the last 6 years, all the way from small businesses to Fortune 500 companies.
That's correct.
Some of the largest companies are Lexus, JetBlue, U.S. Bank, the L.A. County, the fire department. Mm-hmm. So you and you work with a lot of different companies as far as the inclusion program and diversity, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for...
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Thank
you for hosting us.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I didn't say thank you for coming.
You're in my spot right now, right?
Exactly. So we're gonna jump right into it. And you was educating me about redlining, and after redlining, there were some programs put in place by banks to kind of help the effects of redlining for business. So can we just get a brief explanation of what redlining is for people that might not be familiar with redlining?
Sure. So unfortunately, there was a lot of racist policies that were upheld by the government and other aspects of our society, and one was redlining. And redlining is when a lot of different institutions drew literal red lines on the map and said, we are not going to do business here, and we're not going to have any loans here or access for people for real estate. And those were underrepresented communities, i.e. people of color. And so what happened is, as a result of that, years and years and years of this trauma and really this pain that has been put on people, our communities, there have been programs and things that have come into place to help offset that. And one is called the Community Reinvestment Act. And it's literally an act that says that banks and other people have to donate back to those communities in the form of, donations and charity to nonprofits. And specifically, it's for financial literacy. So what all you all are talking about, they're funding that. They're giving the money to nonprofits. And I work for a nonprofit, so I was fully aware of what amazing programs there are because we were able to get the checks to do the programs. So some of those things are business counseling, they're entrepreneur programs. I used to teach entrepreneur programs, and they're really low cost or they're free. And so it's just really good for our people to know about that. I'm Filipino and Pakistani, and so I worked in historic Filipino town in LA, and we did a lot of good work there. We still do a lot of good work there around how to get people aware of what's out there. Savings programs, they had one program back in the day where you could save money, like $50 a month, and at the end of practicing saving for 12 months, you get $2,000 from this bank, from this grant. It was amazing. So people need to know about stuff like that and be aware about what's possible.
Okay. So, all right. The Community Reinvestment Act. Can we just give a little bit broader detail on what that actually is? Is that because we're in LA. I don't know if I said that we're in LA, but we're in LA right now. Yeah. Shout out to the city, the great city of Los Angeles. You know, we love LA. But is this a program that is specific to California, LA, or is it a national program?
I feel like LA was broken into that red line zones, and I think it had something to do with the train tracks, and that's how the parts of LA were broken up, like Compton, Watts, like all these things were broken up intentionally.
Right.
And in that time, that's how neighborhoods formed and how gangs formed.
It's to keep people where they were.
Right. It's a history of it. I think it's a documentary about it.
Chicago.
Same thing.
That's where the term other side of the train tracks comes
from.
Exactly. Out here, literally, a lot of you on the other side of the tracks that separated the good neighborhood from the bad neighborhood.
Exactly. Well, quote unquote.
Well, I mean, poverty from not poverty. So, it's a good first bad. I mean, not good people, but good as far as, you know, real estate prices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, all right.
But it was a multiplier effect of that, because if you couldn't get a loan, you couldn't own a house. If you couldn't own a house, then you can't have wealth. So it's what we see multiply over and over. And then on top of that, the schools, you're in an undesirable neighborhood, so you're not going to have good schools. So on top of that, then your schools are bad. So what do you have? You have liquor stores and check cashing places. You don't have banks. So you're now paying to cash your check. You're paying to go and get your check cash. So it's just lose, lose, lose the whole way. So this Community Reinvestment Act was to help offset that, to help get people back into banking, to trust banks again. So not to go to the check cashing places, not to go spend money we have people having cash under the mattresses. That's where they're saving their money, because they're like, we don't trust the banks. We don't even know anyone at the bank. Actually, banks don't have people that look like us. So these nonprofits were these intermediaries, these like go-betweens to help people gain trust back into the banks. That's what they were for.
It's funny, like we had conversations with adults where the first thing that they wanted to do when they got their check was go to check cashing. And we were like, well, no, you should probably have a bank account. And it's like, no, I don't trust it. It's just something that's been ingrained in our communities for so long.
That's it.
Yeah. And people don't even understand how, you know what, somebody made a good analogy to me, because when I got my first job and I went to the check cashing place, because the check cashing place was like a couple blocks away from where I worked in the camp, and everybody went there, and they were saying, like, you never see a check cashing place in like a white neighborhood, mm-hmm. or like a wealthy neighborhood. You don't.
This is why.
Like a fried chicken spot. You never really see. You never see Kennedy's fried chicken.
A couple
chicken.
Things. It's going to be a liquor store, a church, fried chicken spot, and a mm-hmm. check cashing.
No, it's true. It's true. Right. So, but all right. So there's programs put in place mm-hmm. by banks to help educate people, right? Mm-hmm. So what are they actually educating them on?
So one is how to have a bank account, how to actually write a check, how to just use the financial institutions that are out there to get you used to things that, so you don't have to pay for your money. Because a check cashing place, okay, you cash your check, but then you get used to going there, and then they upsell you on like this loan. Oh, you need an advance on your check, you need some money, okay, but that's like gonna cost you 40%. Mm. So the next time around, now you're paying half your check, right? In order to get the money, and then that compounds. So now you owe money. So all of a sudden you're owing money instead of making money, where if you put it in the bank, you gain interest, even if it's a little bit of interest. At least you're not paying to get your money. So it's a way to get people used to using financial institutions. And also the other programs were about how to start a business, which I really love. That's what I was a part of. Mm-hmm. So how to start a business. And then I even did financial literacy for kids. So we got piggy banks, we taught them how to count and use a calculator, and then we taught them about like needs and wants. So don't spend money on those name brands necessarily when you're that young, like save a bit, you know, earn your leisure, have your assets.
This sounds something
right?
very
yeah,
familiar.
For sure.
Yeah, that's what you teach. So we did it all for, you know, the kids in those hoods, and it was great.
Can you talk about the program for small business owners?
Yeah.
Was it SBA?
So the government has different parts of it. And one part of it is called the Small Business Administration, the SBA. And who pays for that? You do. I do. The taxes pay for it. The taxes that you pay go to programs, and these programs are free. Mm-hmm. So the programs are small business counseling. So you can come, if you need a business plan, you can go roll up to one of these places and go and get yourself a business counselor for free. And they will coach you through a business plan. And you've already paid for it because you pay tax.
You're a taxpayer.
So you should go and get the resources that you paid for.
Where do I find this program? Because I know this is not being offered in schools. So is it at a community center, or is there a designated area that I can find that program?
Right. So the SBA has centers. They're called Small Business Development Centers. And they're also partnering with the nonprofits. So they would employ people like me to work in these nonprofits to reach out to the community and then be like their like proxy, like be their ambassador. So they would be the ones to help in those communities, teach people about business plans and other stuff.
Okay.
And each demographic has its own, right? Because I know you said that you were working with the Filipino area of LA. And mm-hmm. is that true for the Hispanic area?
Yeah, and the black communities too. So the banks knew that the only way for people to get used to them is to go through the nonprofits they know or the churches they know. So most of these communities have their own. Mm-hmm. So you could just look up what's in your area, look up who the main players are who are doing work in the area, really mm-hmm. good community nonprofit work, and they're probably doing this already.
So, but how do you look it up? Like how?
So you could look up small business counseling or free small business development center, SBA, and you'll find it.
And do you have to? How do you qualify? Like, it's okay. If I'm a small business owner, I want to have a business plan drawn out for me, right?
Right.
Is there a certain qualification that I have to meet to have a free business plan?
No, it's free. You fill out one form with your name, address, and you check that you certify this information is true, and that's it.
So I can Google. I can Google SBA.
SBA free business counseling, or small business development center. And then you can find one near you. And they're targeted to, let's say, women or, let's say, the community that you're a part of. Mm-hmm. And it's all free. They also have another program called SCORE. And that program is with executives. So it's, I forget the first part, but it's retired executives. And it's these guys who are like retired and they're, you know, in their retired time frame, like they're free and they want to give back. Mm-hmm. And they also do counseling for you. So you can even hear from an executive, which is a trip, because they're, you know, golfing and hanging out and they want to give back. And so they'll talk to anybody. You just make an appointment and it's free.
So in the area that you worked, what's the retention rate? How many people do you see trying to create small businesses in the community you served?
The thing that people think is you need money to make money. You don't need money to make money. You need drive. Mm. The thing that I saw that made everybody successful is they had ambition. Like, they could have a couple bucks in their pocket, but they knew that they could do it. I had one sister, she had an ice cream truck. And I'll give her a shout out. Her company name is Cali Pop. And she would go in the hood and sell ice cream. I'm like, why are you going in the hood? She's like, my papa did that. My papa did that because it was the jungle, and he was the only one that would sell ice cream in the hood. Mm. And I helped her, and so we got her her thing set up. She got set up at the commissary, like where she stocked her stuff. And just like the other day, I saw her in the Beach Cities areas. She was selling to the kids, and I was like, girl, you're doing good. Like, I'm so proud of you that you came up, and she didn't have much, but she made it work. But she had that determination, and it was like her legacy, because it came from her dad. So she really wanted to do it. And so I had people doing child cares, I had people doing record stores, I had restaurants, and they had nothing. They had no education even, you know, high school dropouts, right? And one of my clients, the Park's Finest, they were high school dropouts, and they used to cook barbecue in the hood to stay out of trouble so they wouldn't get into fights with people, because mm-hmm. they'd be the ones that would come through and cook for you for your parties. So they never got in anybody's way. They weren't on anybody's side. And they came to me one day, and they're like, yo, like, we want to go and buy this trailer. We want to buy this barbecue trailer. And so I helped them through it. They ended up, now they have a storefront. They got on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network.
Big
and
time.
It's like,
that's big time.
And they're high school dropouts. So
let me ask you this. So mm-hmm. the Small Business Administration, they help you, they can help you write a business plan.
Yes.
They can help you with coaching, mentorship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can they help you with funding?
Yes, they can. So all of the coaching and the classes that they have, they do want to get you set up so you can go and get a loan. And so they actually have education on how to get a loan from a bank. So they work with banks on getting businesses ready to go and try to go for a loan. So all these banks and the SBA, they all work together to try to help the different business clients get ready and try to acquire that, which is possible.
And it's all free?
That is free.
All free.
It's all free. But we don't know about it.
We do now.
What are some things some people can do to help them help their chances to get a loan? Because that's always comes down to money.
Yeah. It always comes down to money. It's about credit, right? So use your credit card responsibly and build your credit score up slowly and be responsible. So even if you, okay. So when people use debit cards, it's cash out the door, right? Which is fine, because you're like, oh, I don't want to spend more than I have in my bank. But if you can discipline yourself and use a credit card and pay that $50 down every month, then you have like a track record of credit. I remember the first credit card I opened, I only had $500. Like, that's all I could get. Like, that was my max. And I still have that card today because I won't close it because it has a history of how many years I've had that one credit card. In fact, I don't think I even increased the limit. I still only have $500 on it, but I never closed it. And so they've seen like decades of me using a credit card. And I didn't have a lot of money at the time. Like, I was a student. Like, they didn't know who I was, but I applied for it as a student. I was like, oh yes, I have this $500 card. And at the time, that was like a lot of money for me. So I just never went over and I paid it off. And then over time, you build your credit score.
Back to funding for a second. What's the maximum amount of money that can be loaned for a small business?
There is no max.
There's no max? Okay.
There's no max. There's different levels. So they have different programs for, like, depending on how much business you do. But they have smaller loans. It's more what's the minimum. I think that's the question. Okay. Like, it's more like, can I go for $5,000? Can I go for $10,000? And so what it is you can go and make a relationship with your bank, go and talk to someone there and start to ask these questions. And they will actually also coach you through it to help you get ready. And that's all free too.
So I wanted to ask you one more question. Chamber of Commerce, you work with Chamber of Commerce, right?
I did. I worked for, after this nonprofit, I worked for an Asian Chamber of Commerce.
So what is the Chamber? Because I always hear Chamber of Commerce here in this city, and there's different groups that have Chamber. Like, what is it? What is the, what does that mean? Like, what is a Chamber of Commerce?
What do you do?
So a Chamber of Commerce takes, businesses can sign up to join as a member, and you basically are members with other people, and then you can network with these people, meet them, maybe do business with them. You can go to their different events and learn from them, and it's basically an association, so you're not solo on your own. Like, if you start a business and you're like, I don't know anybody, where can I meet somebody, or where can I learn from other people? And even though they're your peer group, like they're the same as you, they might have a tip that you don't know. So by going and hanging out with these people, you're also kind of raising the bar on yourself, because you're learning from other people who might be struggling the same way but might have a tip for you. They might know something about a program, or they might actually introduce you to some business. And so by being around other people like that, you're just going to raise your chances of doing better.
Okay. So a Chamber of Commerce is not a government institution?
It's not. It's by the city. Okay. And then there are these offshoots, like the one I work for, that are for the community. So there are nonprofit ones.
Okay.
And they're all really like geographic based most of the time.
And anyone can visit the Chamber of Commerce?
You can join. There's usually a fee to join.
Okay.
So that's the only kind of thing that you have to sign up for.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Cool. So yeah, that was some good information. So now we're going to go into the second segment. We're going to talk about different programs to hire small businesses. So the first thing you have to do is educate yourself to actually start a business. Mm-hmm. But once you start a business, you was educating us that there's a lot of initiatives and programs and even stipulations that a lot of times big corporations have to put in place to bring small business owners on. So yeah, we're going to go into that segment next. All right. So in the second segment, we're going to talk about supplier diversity, right? And so what a lot of times people don't realize is that there are programs in place and some stipulations a lot of times in place that a big corporation or a government agency, they have to use a portion of their budget for minority businesses, right? So, okay, can we go into that?
Let's do it.
All right. So what's the deal with that? What's the deal? How does
Can we define what a minority is? Well, that might be important to know first, right?
Well, oh yeah, can we do that? We can do that.
So tied together your question and your question, there are programs out there where companies have to do business with people who are underserved. And so the minority category is basically people of color. So it could be someone who's Black, Asian, Latino. That is the minority community. Mm-hmm. The Native community has their own as well, but they're also a minority. You also have veterans have their own category. So if we have folks here who are veterans who have served our country, that's another category, and women is another category. So you can belong to more than one category and actually try to go for business in each of these categories.
Okay.
But basically, if you're a person of color, you can go for the minority category if you're a man or a woman, whatever you are.
So can you walk me through, and we can go through LA? Like, since we're in LA, if I have a HVAC company in Los Angeles, I'm African-American male, right? All right. What do I do?
So let's say you're doing pretty good. Like you got your business going. You've got customers. Like, you've got to be at the point where you're operating. You're doing not bad for yourself. You got your financials. Then you can start to go kind of for the big guns. Like, you can go for corporations. And corporations are buying stuff all the time. They're buying light bulbs. They're buying paper. They're buying, you know, things like that. And they're looking for vendors that are minorities that are from these categories. And in California, specifically, the utilities here have a general order that mandates, basically, it makes it required that phone companies, the water companies, all these utility companies, they have to do business with minorities. Have to. Is a law, okay? So that's set aside. So at least 15% of anything that they buy, any people they hire, have to be minorities. So if you think about that, it's set aside for us. Mm-hmm. So how do we get it, right? So that's the next question. So you have to get certified to show that you're a minority. And you have to prove it by going through different agencies that give you the certification. You fill out some forms, you show your financials, and then after some time you pay a fee to do that. And then after some time you get the certification. And after that, you can start to try to pitch your business to these corporations, and you get in this special category where you can try to get that money.
So in New York, I think it's called MWBE, Minority Women Business
Enterprise. You got it, yeah.
And in order to be certified in New York, your business has to be, I think, in place for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it's a long list of different things that you have to provide.
Right.
Profit and loss statements. You have to, all kinds of stuff, like corporation letter. And no, it's a very long list. I know, because I've done it. Mm-hmm. So is it the same in Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm. It's the same across the country.
It's the same.
They have a national certification organization that does this, NMSDC. And then every region has their local version that helps give information about it. So it's the same across the country.
Okay.
For everybody. So what you just described is completely accurate, and it's the same across the country.
Okay. That's good to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So, and then, correct me if I'm wrong, 51% of the ownership has to be a minor, because you can have a white partner, right?
Right, you can have a white partner, but you got to own more than them. So you got to own 51%. So you can't be, that's the thing, you can't be messing around and you can't be fake. And why did they do this? Is because white folks were taking advantage. Yeah. And so they're like, look, we need to make this a certification. It needs to be proof on paper that this is minority owned. Okay, because that's what this is about. This is not about some fake thing that, you know, you're the face of it. No, this is to make things right for underrepresented individuals and communities that have not been served. And that's what this is for, is to make it right.
You said the process takes 2 years?
No, you have to be in business for 2 years.
You have to be. How long does the process take, though?
Like a few months. It's more how much paperwork you have in order. That's what takes time. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to get your stuff together. You have to get your paperwork together. That's what I do. I help businesses get it together, and I do, like, consulting about that, because sometimes it can be overwhelming. So it's really important to try to just have your books in order and your paperwork together to try to get that ready. But after that, it doesn't take that long.
Okay. So, working in L.A., mm-hmm. How long have you been working in L.A.?
15 years.
So how many people that have businesses are aware of that, of the program?
It's more that they don't know about it, right? Or some people are like, oh, I don't need that. I'm good. Like, I'm fine with how I am. But the thing is, if you can go and get more, why don't you go and get more? Like, if you can do business with major companies, like brand names, I'm talking like Toyota or Honda or Boeing or Northrop Grumman or any brand name that you know has a version of this, why wouldn't you go and try? Because they're looking for us. They're looking for women. They're looking for minorities to do business with. It's set aside. They have people in those companies that are, their whole job is to go find minority businesses. Can you believe that?
Yes.
That's the whole that's their whole job. Yeah.
So a minority is pretty much anybody that's not white, right?
Right.
Anybody that's not white.
That's right.
Is a minority.
Let's just say that, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And obviously a woman, any woman. It can be a white woman.
It can be a white woman, yeah, or a black woman. Mm-hmm.
Do you know, like, percentage-wise, like, who benefits the most from these programs?
You know, that's a good question. What I've seen, I mean, for the minority category, I feel like, you know, it depends on the industry. So certain industries have more, right? So I don't want to stereotype, but that's what you see. So what you see on the world, what people are doing, that it reflects back into this.
In your 15 years in this service,
right?
What's the largest amount you've seen allocated to a business?
Millions.
Millions.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, like they start small. You start small, but then it multiplies. It's this multiplier effect. And then they get a bigger contract, and then they go bigger. And then all of a sudden they're like running the whole thing, or they're going like to different regions. Right. And then after that, it's sky's the limit, because what happens is the folks that are in these corporations, they're like, yo, this person's good. You need somebody here? I'll refer you. So then they cross refer across the corporation. So then it's the same guy or the same woman or the same person getting more and more and more, because they're trusted. They're known. They're like celebrated. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they're killing it. So all I'm saying is, like, why don't we get more people in that pipeline? You know?
Let me ask you this, because a lot of times in our communities, we pick businesses that aren't scalable. What I mean by that is,
Go ahead, run them down, Shadi.
A rest even though all of these businesses can be scalable, but for the most part, they're not. They're local mom and pop restaurants, barbershops, sneaker stores, stuff like that, right? So these aren't type of businesses. Maybe a restaurant you can cater, but these aren't the type of businesses that are going to get these dollars from these corporate companies, right? So from being in this industry
for
a long time, what are the most appealing businesses that can get money from large corporate? Like, what are they looking for?
It's really everything. You walk through an office, what do you see? You see chairs, you see paper, you see light bulbs. They're buying everything. It could be, there was one I saw recently, it was for hand lotion. I'm not kidding. So they bid it out. And the thing is, they have to put it out to a bid to try to find minorities. If they don't get it, who gets it? The white folks. Mm. So if they don't find someone, if someone's not in that spot, it's going to go to somebody. So why not have our people there? Why not have our people in that pipeline, right?
So businesses like HVAC, like construction.
Plumbing.
Construction's a big one. They can't find construction.
Construction's huge.
Construction's huge.
It's not easy to start a construction company.
It's not easy. I had a guy doing pest control. Like, you can think of
pest control.
That's another one.
Pest control's huge.
Pest control's huge.
HVAC is pretty big business, too, though. Because everybody needs HVAC on a certain level. Mm-hmm. You need it.
Didn't somebody reach out to us about pest control? And they were like, they're running this huge business doing it, and nobody knows about it. It's something that we definitely want to talk about.
But I say that to say, a lot of times we just have to think outside of the box and think different ways, scalable business models.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, like I said, you start a business, if it's not scalable, you're only going to go so far.
That's right.
On your neighborhood.
Right.
And even if there's money allocated from corporations, they can't.
It's not a fit.
It's not going to do anything.
It's not going to do anything, right.
So, all right, you got certified. How do you find these? Is it like a database inside of the website to say, okay, HBO is looking for construction? Like, how do they work?
So every company has their own portal sometimes where you have to go and apply in there. And that's the biggest barrier because people have to go in each one and then apply, right? Mm-hmm. But the certifying organization, they also have a directory. So NMSDC has a directory of suppliers. And if you can keep that directory entry up to date, people will come find you. So that's another way where you get tapped. And so I've done something where I've done some business with a university, and I filled out their database, and now I'm in their database. So if they ever need somebody, they can tap it again. Like, they know that they can find it because I'm in there. So once you're in, it's great, and it can work two ways. You can try to pitch yourself, or you can also be, tapped for that. And then on top of that, these nonprofits like the chambers and stuff, they do networking events for the supplier diversity. So to tie it all together, back to the beginning, we're talking about all the different nonprofits that do programs. Another program is matchmaking. So they have these matchmaking fairs, matchmaking events where you roll up with your business cards. They have all the companies lined up. They have sessions for education. They have booths where all the companies are there waiting to meet you, and you can go shake hands and meet them, and it's all free.
What's the name of this?
It's all supplier diversity. So supplier diversity matchmaking events, that's what it's called. So they're ready, they're wanting to meet you. All you got to do is be ready with your stuff. Like, if you have a one pager, which is like a one page business sheet on what your business is and your business card, and you get ready to make a good impression.
So it's like a high level job fair almost?
Yeah. Okay. It's a matchmaking. Okay. It's like you
speed
know,
dating.
Speed dating.
Speed
yeah.
Dating, yeah.
Like speed dating.
And they're there to help you. And even if you're not ready at that point, you will, if you make a good impression, they'll keep you in mind. And then they nominate you for programs. So there are these programs where you get put in academy. For entrepreneurs. Macy's had an academy for entrepreneurs. Mm. A friend of mine went through Macy's Academy for Entrepreneurs. She's a Latina woman. She's Latina and Black. And she got put through Macy's Academy. Or there's another one, Goldman Sachs. It's called 10,000 Small Businesses. And you can go and you learn souped up financial education. So once you're past the financial literacy, you know, the foundational stuff, they teach you the next level. And if the company likes you, even though you haven't done business with them yet, they'll put you through that program to get you ready to do business with them. It's all to help.
Yeah, the Goldman program is good. I actually know a few people that went through that.
Oh, awesome. They,
it's like a college course, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And they teach you high-level business planning and mm-hmm. how to, you know, succeed. A lot of times, most businesses fail because of lack of education.
And planning, lack of planning.
Right.
Right.
But, like, they don't really know. They don't understand business. Mm-hmm. They might be passionate about what they do. Like, if you're a restaurant owner, you might be a great chef. But if you don't understand payroll and you don't understand, like, what's the good time to open your restaurant, if you don't understand the basic business principles, you're going to fail.
Right.
So this is what the podcast is about, but also it's important for people to seek resources outside of the podcast. Mm-hmm. So it's great information that you're providing. So one of the questions that I had was the bid. You said something about, like, the corporations, they bid, right? What's the bid process?
Yeah. So when they're looking for something, that's called a request for proposals, or they are looking for a bid. So a bid is like, it's like an auction, like I bid this. Like, they're looking for you to bid your services. So you would go and say, I have this product and here's what my cost is if you want to hire me for my product or my service, and I'm going to put my name in the hat to try to get that money or that contract, and they'll review it. And if it's between you and someone else and you have minority certification, you will get it because they need those numbers. They need to fulfill this quota that they have. So it's worth it to get the certification. If you're like, nah, I'm good. Like, I can get it on my own. Like, sure, you can go and get it on your own. But if it's between you and someone else who has that certification, they're going to get it. So you might as well go and get it.
Where do these bids take place and how often do they occur?
So if you are in a good relationship with the company, they will actually contact you and let you know when it's coming. So okay. That's one way. That's like the whole relationship thing. Like everything in the world, if you know someone, you're going to find out. So that's one thing. The other one is these fairs. They tell you when there are upcoming bids. So at those booths I was just talking about, they'll hand out papers and say, we have this stuff coming up. It's not out yet, but it will be. And then another thing is they might have an online portal where they have information that they share. So if you're in the category of that service, like I do training consulting, so I'm on these directories. So I will get an email that says, hey, we've got a bid out for these services. And then it'll say what services, and I can decide if I want to apply for or not. So those are a few ways that you can find out. And then the nonprofits also get contacted, like, yo, like, we need someone now. Like, we need this person. So that happened with my friend with pest control, where they're like, yo, like, we need a pest control company. So I sent my my client out, and he got to do a walkthrough of this, like, major venue here in LA. And I was so proud of him, this Filipino guy. Mm-hmm. And he's walking with all these, like, major companies. And he had a shot. Right? It's because he knew me through a nonprofit. That wasn't out on some internet website. That was because someone, like, emailed me and was like, hey, look, you know anyone? I'm like, yeah, I know someone. I'll send them right now. Dope. So it's all of the different ways.
So does the lowest bidder always get the job? Or
no, it's a few things. They want to trust you. Okay. They want to see your track record. They also want to see your potential. Mm-hmm. And they will give it a shot if they think that, like, you'll do good.
The crazy thing about this whole situation is that I actually went through this before, mm-hmm. so I can speak on it firsthand. And sometimes, like, literally, you could just fall into money. So there was a school that I was working with as an independent contractor. And they had a program called My Brother's Keeper Initiative, mm-hmm. President Obama.
Right.
Anybody's not familiar, President Obama put together a program called My Brother's Keeper, and it was to give money to school districts and other type of community. Long story short, it was for them to bring in outside resources to add to their curriculum. So they got a budget, and they had to fulfill the first 20% of that with minority women business enterprise thing. And they couldn't do anything else until they filled that. The problem with it is that they didn't know what they were doing. So literally, if in that situation, if you could have just stumbled and got paid, because they were looking for it, and what they were looking for was, like, anything that they can bring into their school district. So I think they had a program for, like, video gaming, It was complete nonsense. But the whole thing about it
it was grossly mismanaged.
Yeah. Oh,
grossly
no.
mismanaged. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was terrible.
We'll leave that name
But the thing about it was, to their credit, they didn't really have too many options. And then they had to really do it in like a 3-month window. Like you said, the
That's
pressure
what
was
it
on.
Just sometimes they're like, damn, we need this now.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, like, anyone know anybody? So they start like hunting for it.
No, yeah. You could have had any program, anything that you had,
I
you could have pitched it to the school district.
Yeah.
And you could have got a nice check for that. Because they had
right place, right time, right?
They had to use the money. They had to use the money. It was over six figures.
Yep.
They had to use it in a 1-year span, and they only had like 30 days to implement their first program, their first phase of it. So you could have just walked into probably like $20,000 just by accident.
So that's the thing. You're talking about it's time. Because every year these companies have a goal. They have a quota they have to hit. And so they're running up against the clock where they have got to find it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, make it easy for them. Get yourself ready. Like, know them and then help them find you.
Yeah, that's the first thing we said when we met each other today. It was like,
right.
Be ready. That way you don't have to get ready.
Right, right.
Be ready.
And you were saying that.
Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
That's a fact.
Right?
And you were saying that they have like parties, graduation, stuff like that, like
So they have galas, lunches, like they're basically celebrations and award ceremonies. So once you're doing good and you get recognized, they will actually honor you at an award ceremony as a proud minority business, which is amazing. So not only are you getting paid, you got the contract, but now you're getting an award. And what happens when you get an award? Other people see you in the room. And then the other companies are like, yeah, oh, we'll get him too.
Yeah.
And then you get more because you're trusted and like, oh, they got an award. Okay, I'm gonna trust them. So then you get more. So it just multiplies and amplifies. And so the trajectory is like amazing. Like there's so much opportunity here. And I was inspired. I've been to a lot of these. It's because it's part of the nonprofit. So I got invited as a community member. And I was inspired. And these people are making bank. Like they're small businesses and then they're medium. And then they're the ones doing millions.
You got to be a diplomat in this world, especially in business. A lot of times people have different views, especially entrepreneurs. Like they don't really want any help a lot of times. They want to do things themselves. And I respect that. But. If there are ways to actually accelerate your business and to get money, and like I said, I've seen it firsthand where you can like literally stumble into money. You have to really ask yourself, is it beneficial to fight against a wave or to surf it?
Mm-hmm.
Surf it. Because they're going to use somebody regardless.
That's the thing. Yeah. The money's going out the door.
It could be you or it cannot be you.
Right.
Yeah. Might as well make it you.
Go and take it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And like you said,
I had a quick question about so when you have clients, right, you do the coaching part and the more clients you get, are you compensated each time they get a new deal or is it just once they find a deal? How does that work for you?
Well, I do also coaching just to get people started. Yeah. So it's an hourly rate.
Okay.
I do group coaching as well. So if people, just want to learn more, that's the thing. And then after that, also to help them, like we can work it out, whatever works for people. I also am like, I want to give back. So I don't want anyone to be like, I don't know what to do or, like I will help. So there's educational resources. There's ways that they can, find out more. Yeah, I can do that.
For sure. So that leads us into our last segment, which we're going to talk about business coaching.
Right.
So, yes, that's what we're going to next. All right. So in the last segment, we're going to keep it in the world of business, but a little different conversation because a lot of time what we try to do with Earn Your Leisure is highlight every area of entrepreneurship and businesship and just business owners and just everything. Mm-hmm. So being a business coach, not something that we've actually covered so far. So I think this will be a good way to cover it. So you're a business coach, right?
That's right.
Okay. So what does it mean? Because I've heard this term before and I'm still not exactly sure what a business coach does. So what does it mean to be a business coach?
So what I do is I help people who are stuck. They have an idea and they don't know where to go with it, or maybe they're at a certain point and they can't get past it. And so what I can do is help with that, to help give strategies, tools, resources, and put them in touch with people or even give them some ideas on their business plan to help them along.
So it's like a consultant?
It's a consultant, right. Okay. But the thing with coaching is like sometimes it's a personal block. Like maybe you're stuck in your head about something and you need life coaching or you need you know, a pep talk before you go into that meeting where you're going to do a bid, like what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you need a coach. This is like sports coach. Like you need someone to talk you through like the play, right? So if you're on the floor, right, and you're like, okay, there's 3 minutes left on the clock, what are you going to do? Like the coach will know what to do because you're in the game. You're playing. And you're like, yo, like I don't know what to do. So it's like, do I shoot it? I pass. What do I do? So the coach is going to help you through that. That's what's going to happen.
That's a pretty good analogy. So are you day-to-day with the clients, or are you meeting weekly? How does that work?
Usually it's like every couple of weeks we do a check-in or a month. Some people stretch it out where they're like, oh, I'm good. Like, we can talk in a month. It's a package, so you can do a series with me. And then after that, you know, you can go from there. I also have group coaching sessions, so people can join those. So that's more affordable. But then what we don't have are culturally competent coaches. We don't have people that know how to talk our language. Like, yo, like, I got, you know, my grandma at home, she's sick. Like, people are just looking at your profit and loss statement. They don't know all this other stuff. So what I do is I incorporate the cultural knowledge and respect in that and talk the language that you know and also incorporate that into your plan. Because you can't just make a plan without thinking about your family. You can't just make a plan without, you know, thinking about how you do business, because you're not going to compromise your culture. You're not going to compromise yourself ethically because you're not going to survive. If you're someone else through all of this, then you're not going to survive, because that's only going to last like a flash in the pan and then you're done. Or even worse, you're going to turn into someone that you can't look in the mirror and respect anymore. So what I do is I honor that in you. Like, I'm like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Like, in there, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. Versus like, what should I do? Or what the world's telling me to do? Or what my mama's telling me to do? You know? Right. So that's what comes out of the coaching, really.
No, that's powerful. And it's honorable. A lot of people have compromised their culture, but it's a different conversation. So, all right. So let's say I want to become a business coach, right?
Yeah.
I'm tired of the podcast. I can't take it anymore. I just want to just start coaching people in their business. How do I do that?
Well, you got to be informed and figure out what it is that you know. So maybe you're a strategy person. Like, you know how to help people like use the dynamics. Like, you know how to operate within a company or operate like within an organization. That's your thing. Or maybe you're a really good like business plan person. Like, you know how to make the business plan. So you figure out what it is that you know and what you want to teach and how you teach, and that's what you go with. You go with what you know and what you're good at.
How do you market it? How did you personally?
Me personally?
Yes, you personally.
It was all word of mouth. So it got on the street, like, oh, here, you want to know someone, here, talk to her. And so it was word of mouth referral. The best thing out there is your name and your brand. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing out there. You got to keep that clean and shiny and true. And once you have that, you're good, because people will know. Good people attract good people, right? Look at how we all met. It just happens.
That's a great story.
Right? Yeah. So you kind of manifest it. Like, if you've heard of this book, it's called The Secret. The secret is like, how do you have people have things come to you? And there's a dude, right? And he's like, look, I want to make $1 million. So I'm going to write a check and put it on my ceiling. I'm going to stare at that thing every day. So that was what he manifested. He manifested it. And that's what you can do, like, with any of this stuff.
So what's the pricing model like for coaching?
I have a sliding scale, so I can work with folks. So my corporate consulting rates are like $350 an hour, but that's like if you're at the point where, look, I need it quick, and I know exactly what I need, and you come, and I'll give you that. If you want like group coaching, I can do, you know, different rates for that. That's like a package. And then I do like, you know, sliding scale rates. So if you need to talk to me, it's like $150. But the thing is, it's like, oh, that's expensive. Okay, you want to waste your time, like, you know, darting around doing the wrong thing? Like, you pay for quality out here. So invest in yourself. Don't buy those movie tickets for one night. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, don't buy that purse. Like, you earn your leisure. We got to earn it. So put the money in, put the time, and save the money. Don't go out to eat. Make that lunch, right? And invest in yourself. That's what people need to do.
Is your coaching California based, or do you, because I noticed that you travel around and speak a lot.
I travel and speak a lot.
So do you coach in other areas as well?
Well, that's all online.
Okay.
So we can talk on Zoom, and it's like I'm in your living room, you know? Okay. Like, we can talk on video call, and like, you feel so close in that conversation, I do too, that it's almost like we're in person. So that's the wonder and beauty of technology, is that can happen.
So there's really no set standard for pricing. Like, you just it's like a psychologist. You just do whatever you want to do.
And well, you can, yeah. But it's like,
there's no industry standard. Like,
No. I mean, I'm certified, so that's the thing. I have financial certification. I'm totally certified. I have National Development Council certification. I also have coaching certification. So all of that is like, that's fine. That'll, you know, help your rate along. But if people like you, they'll pay. I knew a dude I heard about. He's like charging $5,000 for an hour. And it's like, are you for real? But people were buying that because he was good. So it's really up to you. Well, I try to make it accessible, though. So
we had shout out to Alex. He's in the trucking industry. And he said he charged $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he had an 8-month waiting list.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, cash me now.
Well, so
you hear that sound?
Yes.
The price just went up.
The price has gone up.
But I give a lot back. So I give in ways like I can tell when I can figure out a way for it to work. So, you know, I might be in your neighborhood and I'll be doing a talk and maybe you can check it out. So if folks are keep in touch with me on social or are on my email list, then you can find out when I'm doing the free things and then you can see me in person.
So the best ways to kind of get your brand out there to become a business coach is, this is my personal opinion, right? And correct me if I'm wrong. Social media, speaking engagements, mm-hmm. Any type of publicity that you can get, doing podcasts, writing articles, mm-hmm. establishing your credibility.
Right.
As an expert in that particular field. Because this is the thing, right? You got to be a specialist. It's like going to a doctor. Now, I'm not going to a cardiologist to get my teeth fixed. Doesn't make sense, right? When you try to be a jack of all trades, you end up as a master of none. Mm. So you have to specialize in one particular area. So like the guy in the trucking industry, he specialized. He became the trucking guy. So now it's not unreasonable for him to charge $10,000 because he's established himself as a leader in the mm-hmm. industry.
Right.
Do you believe that what I just said is correct?
I do believe that. Yeah. So I agree with that. And I think for me, people know me because of what you just said, because I write and I speak and people see me. I'm at conferences all the time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the corporations also call me. So I get calls sometimes when something goes wrong and they can't call somebody else and they'll bring me in and they won't tell anyone because they need it fixed. So I'm that person too. So I'm the person that can help, you know, find a solution a lot of time or a strategy or way forward.
And it's also important to know that, and you said this earlier off camera, is that a lot of times you're doing this for free. Like you're going to speak sometimes just for free to get your name out there.
Yeah.
And that's important, right? You don't charge this amount when you start.
Listen, look,
you have to build that clientele.
I want to give back too. Right. And so that's my ethic, is like, I've been there, I know. And parts of my family are still there, actually a lot. Mm-hmm. So the thing is like, that's never gonna go away. So what do we gotta do? We gotta help each other. And so, you know what they say is that you lift as you rise. You lift as you rise. If I'm rising, I'm gonna bring everybody along with me. And if you're rising, you bring everybody along with you. And if you do that, and he does that, and she does that, then we all grow, mm-hmm. right? Yep. And that's what we wanna do. We wanna have everyone up there with us. We don't wanna be alone, it's lonely there. I don't like to go into spaces where it's businesses and I'm the only woman of color. I don't like that. I want to see more people that look like me. I want to go up on stage and be like everybody else. Yeah. So I don't want to do this by myself anymore. I need all of everybody.
There's less
up
of
there
us
with
the
me.
Higher I go.
So how do you convince small business owners, specifically small business owners, that paying for education, paying for a consultant is valuable, because they always try to, a lot of times, penny pinch. Mm. They don't pay for anything. So how do you do that?
It's two reasons. Okay, number one is they figure out how to do it better, right? It's the strategy. The other one, number two, is the motivation. If you're putting money down, you're going to go show up, okay? Mm-hmm. But if you're like, this is free, or this is, I don't know, like, you're not committed. So I'll talk to you next year when you're serious. Because you're not serious right now. So it's a promise to yourself. You're making a promise to yourself. You're honoring yourself. You're putting yourself first. You're not putting that pair of shoes first. You're not putting, you know, that bet on the game first, right? You're getting a guaranteed outcome out of this. And that's all I can say. I'm not saying it's going to end up like getting you whatever you need, like some kind of contract or whatever, but you're going to move forward. And that's the first step.
You have to look at it like sports. Like if you're Michael Jordan or LeBron James or whatever, they're not going in the gym by themselves. They have personal trainers.
Mm-hmm.
They also have massage therapists. They also have
nutritionists.
They have chefs. They have everything.
Right.
And because they understand that, like LeBron, he said he invests $1 million in his body every year. There's a reason why he's never really got hurt. He's putting that type of resources in it. He's obviously going to be dedicated. He's not going to spend $1 million and not be dedicated. But also, these people are pushing him because you can only push yourself so far. It's like lifting weights. Like, that's why you need somebody to help you lift if you're really going to like try to max out, right? It's like you can only go so far by yourself. So I encourage everybody, no matter what industry you're in, to seek help, whether that's in the form of mentorship, whether that's in the form of a coach, whether that's in the form of just podcasts or, you know, any type of information that you can receive. A lot of times people have the thing where they try to do everything themselves, mm-hmm. and you're only going to get so far by yourself. Right. You need help, and there's nothing wrong with help. And I think a lot of times, you know, you have to look at people that have been extremely successful and they always have help in some capacity. And a lot of times they have a lot of help. Mm-hmm. So small business owners, unfortunately, a lot of times they think small.
Mm. And they stay small then.
Yes, right. They do. And so what you're saying is actually something that is extremely valuable. And I want people to actually fully understand the importance of it, because I see it firsthand. I've seen it firsthand. Even myself, I fall victim to it. Nobody's perfect. But, you know, as you live and you learn and you become more humble, and that's the thing, too. You have to be humble in order to seek criticism and also to seek help, because a lot of times with coaching, it might not be something that you want to hear.
That's a tough thing, but you got to be ready to face it.
Right.
Right.
Like, if I tell you that what you're doing is totally wrong, mm-hmm. and you've been doing it for 10 years, it's like you might not want to change that, because nobody wants to admit that they're wrong. But if I know more than you, I'm trying to actually help you.
Right.
So if you're humble enough to receive the information and you process it, then you could potentially blossom as a result.
There it is. Right.
There exactly. It goes. There it goes. So how can people get in contact with you? Like, what's the social media handles, where you have a website, all that kind
right.
of stuff?
I'm easy to find on social. So my handle is at Farzana Nayani. So it's my first and last name together. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn as well. I have a website. My website is www.farzananayani.com. A lot of resources up there. You can also follow me on all of those social handles and see what I'm up to. You can follow my story. See my little words of wisdom that I have put up there all the time. And just check it out and be inspired yourself.
No, for sure. Everyone, thank you for coming. Thank you for hosting us. And shout out to all the people in the Philippines as well. So I used to live in Hawaii. And
you did? So did I.
Oh, did you? What part of Hawaii?
Oahu.
Okay. I was on the Big Island.
Oh, I went to school there for a couple of years.
What school did you go to?
University of Hawaii at Manoa.
Okay. Mm. I went to the University of Hawaii at Hilo. So we have
Shaka,
more common.
Bro?
Yeah, for sure.
Dude,
mahalo.
What? Mahalo.
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 Mahalo. Mahalo.
That's
so
that's hello and goodbye.
Yes.
Aloha to everyone. Yeah. Yes.
I wear many hats. So yes, I say that to say there's a very large Filipino population in Hawaii. So very good people. And I actually went to the Philippines. Me and Jamal went to went to the Philippines. So shout out to all the good people of the Philippines.
Shout
I have not been
out.
to Pakistan, but shout out to Pakistan as well. Shout out to the good people of Pakistan.
Yes.
And yeah, that's
and
a good
yeah.
That's the thing with Earn Your Leisure. We're for everybody.
Yeah.
We're for everybody.
We're
and
here for
the information.
I thought you were gonna break out some Tagalog. I was
Salamat po.
There we go.
The information is for the entire world. That's what we're not limiting ourselves to anybody. We wanna give information to entire mankind all over the world. So thank you again for joining us.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It. Troy.
Yeah, well, we gotta give a shout out to Mike too. Right? He had a plane ride here to LA.
Dude, it was a cosmic meeting where we had 4 hours from Atlanta to LA where we talked. We talked so much that the lady between us had to move because she's like, you all need to like get together. You're an entrepreneur.
He couldn't wait to tell us about the conversation and his meeting. So shout out to Mike and thank you again.
Yeah, shout out to Mike, man. The producer of the show, and he told us, he was like, I just met this lady on the plane, and we got to interview her.
You gotta say how he talks, though.
Wow.
Yo, I just met this guy. We gotta have her. We gotta have her. No, you gotta meet her.
So I'm like, all right, man. If it goes wrong, it's on you. So, so yeah.
That's
shout
okay.
Out.
The universe had a hand in it.
Shout out to Mike, man. We put our faith in him.
Right.
And I told him that he would get all the credit if it went right, and he would get all the blame if it going wrong. So
what's the verdict?
No.
He finishes up.
Okay.
Nah. I think you know he made a good decision.
Good.
So shout out to
I'm
Mike
glad.
For sure.
Yeah.
Troy,
yeah,
housekeeping items.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. Y'all know that's our Proud to Pay program. It is doing tremendously well. We have bonus content up there. Y'all know there's 5 tiers you can join at. And we're going to keep putting content out. And we have something special. I told you when we get to 100, we're going to do something special for 5 of our patrons. And we're about to release that very soon. And shout out to everybody who is buying the merch. You know, we put up the fall wear on earlyleisure.com. And Shadi has on the crew neck. I'm wearing the hoodie. It is cold in New York. And it is chilly at night in L.A.
It is. It's a
desert. It's chilly
cold
at
night.
So, yeah, that's why we have it on, even though we are in L.A., and we have some new merch that is also going to be launched. We gave that out on the episode with John Henry that our earners is going to be the name for our followers. So we're going to have some merch that,
nice.
You know, signifies that. So be on the lookout for that and keep supporting.
Yeah, supporters. I like the word supporters better than follower. Social media, I don't really like how they phrase that because you're not following us, you're supporting us, and we appreciate you, and we're not treating you like a fan or a follower. You're a supporter, and we really love you. We love you, and we appreciate you. We wouldn't be here without you. And the book tip for this week is by Ben Horowitz. If you're not familiar with Ben Horowitz, he's a legendary VC investor, angel investor, and he's also very good friends with Nas. He's the one that actually encouraged Nas to get into the venture capital world. Anybody that follows Nas knows that he's huge right now in venture capital. So his book is What You Do Is Who You Are. So interesting read. Check it out. And we'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace. Peace. You gotta say peace.
Peace.